Hello and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle Debbie Viggs. Let's get started with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we just come before you to thank you and to give you praise. We thank you for the fact that you've kept us this far. We thank you for watching over us and protecting us, guiding us and delivering us. We are grateful to you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. And we thank you, Father, for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us, the benefits that you daily load us with. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And we give you praise, glory, and honor. So, Lord, we come together now to pray these Colossians prayers, Colossians 9, 1 through 14. In the name of Jesus, and from the day that we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. I give thanks to you, Father, because you have qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. And I thank you, Father, that you have delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you have transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, and it is in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving we have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, we've been talking about the Word of God, how the supernatural power in the Word of God is able to transform our lives, is able to change situations and, turn around negative situations and bring about victory in every area of our lives. And so we've looked at the fact that the Word of God carries God's power, it carries God's life. We've looked at the fact that the Word of God carries God's wisdom. And not only that, we also know that the Word of God delivers divine health, it delivers peace, it delivers joy unspeakable. And so not only does it deliver all this that I've shared, but the Word of God has nutritional contents. It actually nourishes the body. And so I'd like us to now take a look at some of the nutritional contents that are found from the Word of God. And so we'll begin with Isaiah 55 this morning. Isaiah 55, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 55, verse 1 to 3. And it says, "Wait and listen, everyone who is thirsty. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for what does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, the profuseness of spiritual joy. Incline your ear, submit and consent to the divine will, and come to me. Hear, and your soul will revive, and I will make an everlasting covenant or league with you, even the sure mercy, kindness, goodwill, and compassion promised to David." Amen. And so we see that God's word is loaded with great nutritional values designed for strengthening our inner man against the days of battle, against, these end times that we're in, against, the times of warfare. So we saw that in verse one, it says, come buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money. Amen. It says, come buy spiritual wine without money. But before that, it starts by saying, the one who is thirsty, come to the waters. He who has no money, come and buy and eat. So we want to see, it mentions several things there. It mentions water, it mentions wine, it mentions milk. Then it says, why do you eat that which does not satisfy, which is not bread. And so we're going to look at all those nutritional contents and in other verses as well. So if we go to the book of John, John chapter 4, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, we are going to find in verse 14, the Bible says, "But whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water, welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him, unto or into life or eternal life." So God's word is a fountain of water, and water is for our refreshing because it keeps us going. We also know that in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, the Bible says in verse 26, "So that he might sanctify her," meaning the body of Christ or the church, "so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word." So God's word also offers us water to refresh our inner man. Amen. So we know God's word is a fountain of water for our refreshing. It keeps us going. It also offers us water to refresh our inner man. Also, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. The book of 1 Peter in chapter 2, we're going to find in verse 2, it says, "Like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto completed salvation." So the word of God is also milk, and milk is for growth. And that means your growth is guaranteed by the milk of the word of God. And so if you want strength, then you need the milk of the word of God, which enhances spiritual growth and development. Then let's go now to Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, we want to read verse 14. Hebrews 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, "But solid food is for full-grown men, for those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary, either to divine or human law." And so we see that, you know, God's word is meat. It says, "But solid food is for those who are grown men." In King James, it actually says, "But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those by who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So God's word is meat. Every doctrine of the gospel is meat for the soul. And the strength that we get from water is not comparable with the one that comes from milk. And the one that comes from milk is not comparable with the one that comes from the meat. So we must outgrow the water level and move on to the milk level and then unto the meat and the strong meat levels of the word of God. It means that you need to graduate from one level to the next in the word of God. You can't stay at the same level forever and never graduate and never grow in the things of God. Amen. Let us also go to the book of Proverbs chapter 24. In Proverbs 24, Proverbs 24, we're going to read verse 13 and verse 14, which says, "My son, eat honey because it is good, and the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. So shall you know skillful and godly wisdom to be thus to your life. If you find it, then shall there be a future and a reward, and your hope and expectation shall not be cut off." So we are told also that the word of God is honey. Now the honey level of the word of God is for exploits, because we see here it says, "Eat honey because it is good." Amen. In King James, it says, "My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. They shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. And so there is a reward on this level. What this means is that when you're on the honey level of the word of God, you are in command. Amen. You are in command. This is when you, especially when you gain access to the honey of God's word. That is the working knowledge of the truth, which puts you supernaturally in command of the affairs of your life. And so if you want real strength, then you need to reach out for the honey level of the word of God. Now, when we go to Deuteronomy, let's look at Deuteronomy 32 real quick here. Deuteronomy 32, verse 9 through 14, it says, for the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, Israel, is the Lord of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, in the howling void of the wilderness. He kept circling around him. He scanned him penetratingly. He kept him as the pupil of his eye, as an eagle that stirs up her nest, that flutters over her young. He spreads abroad. He spread abroad his wings, and he took him. He bore them on his pinions. So the Lord alone led him. There was no foreign god with him. He made Israel to ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the increase of the field. And he made him suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock and butter and curds of the herd and milk of the flock with the fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and he goats with the finest of the wheat. And you drank wine of the blood of the grape. Now, why did I read that? God, you know, here this is talking about the eagle, reference is made to the honey, which is the eagle's food. And so it is a source of strength for the eagle, which has so much strength that it can carry weight three times its size. And so when you get to the honey level of the word of God, you know, that means you are in a place of exploits. This is a place of exceeding great faith. You know, that means you can be in command. You know the word of God to the point where you can, you know, you are not moved, you're not fazed by situations and circumstances. Most times, like the Apostle Paul had said or Peter said, a lot of times most Christians just stay at the milk level. You know, they start off at the water level, then they end at the milk level. They never even graduate to the meat level, let alone to the honey level. And this is where we are supposed to be as Christians, at this honey level. Amen. Now, not only is God's word loaded just with these, but also God's word is loaded with wine. This is when you come under the intoxicating effect of the word of God, where you live under its influence and you start doing as occasion serves you. Now let's go to Isaiah 25 for this one. Isaiah 25. In Isaiah 25, we read from verse 6 through 8. The Bible says, and on this Mount Zion shall the Lord of hosts make for all peoples a feast of rich things, symbolic of his coronation festival, inaugurating the reign of the Lord on earth. In the wake of a background of gloom, judgment, and terror, a feast of wines on the lees of fat things, full of marrow of wines on the lees of well refined. And he will destroy on this mountain the covering of the face that is cast over the heads of all peoples in mourning, and the veil of profound wretchedness that is woven and spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory. He will abolish death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. Hallelujah. So the wine of the word of God brings you under the supernatural influence of the word in your daily life. With that, you live under the influence of the word and you are intoxicated with the truth. in this realm, you're not moved by what you see or what you hear. You're only moved by the word of God with which you approach every issue of life. It is at this stage that every death around you is swallowed up because of the intoxicating influence of the word of God. Now, you can't live under the influence of the word of God and not be in command. Now, speaking about the great tribe of Judah to which you and I belong in Genesis 49, let's look at what the word of God says there. Genesis 49, verse 11 and verse 12. It says in verse 11, binding his foal to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine, he washes his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker and more sparkling than wine, and his teeth whiter than milk. Well, wine and milk is lion's food. And you know that the lion is the strongest among beasts and turns not away from any. In fact, in Proverbs 30 and verse 30, it says, the lion, which is mightiest among beasts and turns not back before any. This is where we are told. So it is the mightiest amongst beasts, and it turns not away. It turns not away before any. Amen. And so also when Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the Bible said about him in prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 through 15, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the young woman who is unmarried and a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Butter and curds and wild honey shall he eat when he knows enough to refuse the evil and choose the good. Amen. So when you have the butter and milk and honey of the word of God, you will decide the happenings in your life just as Jesus did. So we see that the word is so powerful. Yes, we have the, you know, we see that we know about the power of God. Yes, we know that, you know, there's life in the word of God. Yes, we know that there is, you know, wisdom in the word of God, but it also delivers to us divine health. It delivers to us protection. It delivers to us peace. It delivers to us joy unspeakable. The word of God delivers to us salvation and whatever else we need. However, not only does it deliver, it has all these nutritional contents in the word. And so when we talk about eating the word of God and digesting, that's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, the word of God is, you know, the Bible is the word, is God's word that has proceeded out of his mouth. And Jesus said, man shall not live by that alone, but we shall live by this. So this should be our spiritual food. This should be our, you know, you can't go a day without eating the word of God, without taking it in and planting yourself in the word of God, taking in that word, digesting it, eating it, chewing it up until you begin to understand it. You want to move from the water level. The water level is when you first get saved and you enter into the things of God. You know, you're at the water level, but you see, you can't stay at the water level. You need to graduate and move. You know, most Christians who've been in, you know, Christian for a while are at milk level. Yes, the milk level is good, it's for growth. However, you need to now grow from that milk level and get to the meat level. The meat level is where now, you know, like I said, that this is the level where, you know, you become stronger in the word of God. It's like faith. Faith is in degrees. You know, you move from one degree to the next. Faith, everybody at salvation receives the measure of faith. The Bible says that each and every one of us receives the measure of faith. So we all start out with the same measure of faith when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. However, what we do with that determines how, you know, successful we will be in life based on the word of God. You know, there are some people who do something with that level of faith and they grow from that, you know, that ground level of faith to little faith. And then they grow from little faith to great faith. And then they grow from great faith to, you know, exceeding great faith, you see. And so these are levels that you grow in. And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. So it's not a hearing just two times, but it's a continual hearing of the word of God. It's a continual study of the word of God as you study, not reading, because usually on water and milk level, that's all you do. Read the word of God. And as you read that word and that's it, you know, you're satisfied, or you don't even take time to meditate upon it. But when you move from the water and milk level, when you're at meat level, that's where you know that you've got to meditate on the word of God. As you begin to meditate on this word and meditate, you begin to see you grow stronger in the things of God. You're not moved by situations as much, you know, and you start moving to the next level, which is the honey level. And then, of course, after the honey level, you move to the wine level. So at the honey level is where you could say, you know, in terms of faith, you are probably at great level of faith at the honey level. But when you move to the wine level, that means you're at exceeding great faith. Well, at exceeding great faith, you can believe God for things that, you know, seem so impossible. I mean, you can believe God for impossible things at any level, but will your faith be able to produce that for you? You see, for instance, let's use $1 million. At milk level, at water and milk level, you may want $1 million, but your faith is not enough to produce $1 million, you know, or at the measure of faith, at the starting point. You may want that, but you might not have enough faith to produce that type of, you know, that type of money, probably in the time frame that you want it. You may, you know, it may take you years before it comes because you haven't developed your faith. At little faith, you know, you may not produce that. You may produce something. You might be able to, you know, produce maybe $1,000 or so. But then when you get to great level of faith, you can even get, you know, you start now, you know, getting into some thousands, you know, but you're still probably not yet able to produce $1 million if you want to at that level. It's when you're now at exceeding great faith that you can really command, you know, you're in so much command that you can actually produce these things that you're believing God for, because you're not moved and fazed by everything else. On these other levels, the lower levels, the enemy can come in quickly, even though you have faith. But when a situation arises, you're fretting, you're anxious, you're stressed out, you don't know what to do, you start questioning, wondering, how is God going to do this? You know, the Bible doesn't tell us that it's our job to, you know, to question or to try to figure out when something is going to happen or how it's going to happen. It's never our job. Our job is only to believe, you know. And so when we talk of faith, it's talking about your belief, your belief system. Are you able to pray and believe that the thing that you have prayed for and believed for will actually manifest? You know, with your knower, that it's done without you wondering whether it's done or not. Well, the way you'll know is if you've prayed, and the way you'll know what level of faith you're on is, say, for instance, you pray for your healing for something and you haven't seen a change that day that you've prayed. Well, you probably go back and pray or look for somebody else to pray with you or try to get somebody else. And again, other people, it means you didn't believe it the first time that you prayed. So your faith level is not, you know, you have faith, but you're not yet at like great level of faith. Jesus even said to his disciples when they were in the boat, he says, "Why are you of little faith?" You know, he asked them why they were afraid of the storm. You know, they saw the storm coming, because the storm will arise. And the Bible tells us that it was a storm of great proportions that arose. And that storm of greater proportions arose and was shaking the boat. And it seemed like they were going to, you know, capsize and drown. And so they woke him up as he was sleeping. he went to sleep. He knew that they would get to the other side. And they, you know, went up and woke him up. Master, don't you care? Aren't you worried that, you know, we will perish? And Jesus just woke up and spoke to the storm and rebuked the, rebuked the wind and spoke to the storm, and it ceased. And then he turned to them and said, why are you of little faith? Well, why did he say they were of little faith? Well, because they didn't believe. When he first said, let's go over to the other side, it meant that they would get to the other side. And that's why he went to sleep. He didn't care about, you know, anything that the enemy was going to, you know, bring up, you know. So in our lives, God gives us a word and tells us this is what's going to happen. Well, a storm arises as a result of that word. And that's what happened with the disciples. It was as a result of the word that Jesus said, let's get to the other side. Because if you continue to read that account, you'll find that on the other side is where there was the man who was living in the tombs, the man of the Gadarenes, and Jesus was going to do a deliverance on him. And so, of course, the enemy is going to try to stop that. And so that's why this storm of hurricane proportions, you know, arose. Listen, in our lives, storms don't give us notice. They'll show up when they show up. And so on account of the word of God that you've received, a powerful word, a prophetic word, a storm may arise in your life. What do you do at that point? Are you of great faith? Are you not moved by that? Or are you like the disciples who start to worry and to fret and to have anxiety and wonder, oh, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? You know, oh, Lord God, you know, don't you care that we're going to perish? That's exactly what the disciples did. And Jesus called them, you know, he said they were of little faith. So that's little faith level there. Is that how you respond to situations? Because if that's how you respond, then that means you're still on little faith level. When we come to the Syrophoenician woman, this Syrophoenician woman, she had a daughter who was vexed with a demon, and she left the daughter at home and she came to Jesus. But you see, Jesus didn't even respond to her. In fact, he even called her a dog. Some of us would have been offended. This woman wasn't offended. Jesus told her that healing belonged to the children, you know, of God. Healing is the children's bread. And the woman said, yeah, I know, but even the little dogs, they eat the crumbs that are left off of the table, that dropped from the table. And she wasn't moved and she wasn't fazed by the fact that Jesus called her a dog. In fact, first he ignored her. And the disciples even said, should we chase her away? Why is she bothering you? And Jesus didn't say a word to her. But you see, if look at how he responded when she said, even the little pups, they eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table, you know. And Jesus looked at her and said, wow, great is your faith. You know, go home and your daughter is healed, your daughter is delivered of that demon. You know, there was a demon vexing her. Jesus said she had great faith. Why? Because she wasn't moved. She wasn't offended by what Jesus said to her. Are you the type of person that you get offended easily? Are you the type of person that, you know, if you don't get what you want at that moment, you give up and you cave in and you quit? Well, this woman didn't give up. This woman didn't cave in and quit. She continued to stand, and she wasn't moved by the fact that she was being called a dog, and Jesus said she had great faith. So you have to check yourself. Are you at that level where, you know, when, you know, if something like that or it doesn't change, do you get easily offended? Oh, God, I prayed and you didn't do this for me and you didn't do that for me. Well, that means you're not at great faith level yet. You're still at little faith level. Well, this woman was at great level of faith. And Jesus said, I've not seen, you know, he said, great is your faith. Go home. We see the centurion who said, Master, you don't even have to come to my house. Just send your word only, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus said, wow, I haven't seen great faith like this. Again, that guy was on great level of faith. So with all this, we're talking about the word of God. What level of faith, the level of faith is, you know, your level in the word of God will determine your level of faith that you're on. Are you still going to keep being in water level or milk level instead of graduating to meat and honey and, you know, wine level? You need to desire to graduate to wine level, because at wine level, that's great faith. In fact, exceeding great faith, where you can just speak the word only and things begin to happen. And so I pray that you were blessed by today's teaching. We'll continue with the other things that are in the word of God next week. by God's grace. You all have a blessed and prosperous weekend, and thank you so much for joining me this week. May God meet you at your very point of need, and whatever is wrong in your life, may He make it right. I pray that He will perfect the things that are concerning you, and that He will answer the petitions that you have asked of Him. Have a blessed weekend. Bye-bye.